The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted that you are waking up this early, Friday, September 6th. We're at 65 degrees on our way to about 9800, somewhere in there. Join the conversation at 770-5633, 770-KMED. Finally got back to a normal sleeping pattern. It was fascinating just going out of town last week and heading over to East Coast time for just a few days and sleeping in motels and having bad food and carnival food and various other things. And then sitting in airports and stuff like that. It just throws you off. I don't know how people travel all the time and do this. I wonder how my brother does this. My brother's grumpy. He works for Airgas, and he travels all over the country to repair plants. And I think I understand why he's grumpy all the time. I really do. Mike, love you. Okay. It's 12 minutes after 6. Hope you're doing well. It's going to be a hot weekend, but not as hot as it's been, mid to upper 90s, you know, on Saturday and Sunday. And then we start pretty major cool down. We'll talk with Mr. Outdoors about that and more about an hour from now. And I also want to dig into the report. Breathless reports that it's never been a hotter summer ever, ever. And I'm kind of scratching my head about this because all the records that we even talk about here in Southern Oregon, some which, of course, occasionally get broken, but they're all from the early 1930s. They're all there in the 1930s, but you were told it's never been hotter again. And I'm confused about it. Maybe Greg can wax poetically on that. Certainly, it was a hot summer at times, and I can't help but think, and I know that other climatologists I've talked to and geologists like Gregory Wrightstone talking about the eruption of the undersea volcano, which ended up spewing billions of gallons of water into the stratosphere about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and the talk back at that time was that it was going to cause a 3 to 4, maybe 5 year spike in overall global temperatures, because that's the real greenhouse gas. I know they're talking about methane and carbon dioxide and everything else. The real greenhouse gas is water vapor. And I know that, in fact, I think I had a report here that the state of Oregon is looking to get more commentary. Oh, yeah, here it is, you know, about that. I mean, I found that. I had it in the stack of stuff here. Department of Environmental Quality extending public comment period for climate protection program, which means how do we deindustrialize and shut down your life, that sort of thing. And what they're focusing on is natural gas, among the most potent climate warming greenhouse gases that they say. And so Oregon officials have extended until late September the public comment window related to restarting a program aimed at reducing greenhouse gases from oil and gas companies. And that's certainly not about making your life any easier or energy more affordable for you. So I think the appropriate response to this is no, let's not restart this, and let's just try to make sure that we have enough of this, because they're focusing on natural gas, a lot of this. And it was just a few years ago that we would put brand new RVTD buses on the road. Oh, it's clean, powered methane buses, or compressed natural gas, clean and wonderful. And everyone was going, oh, isn't that great? But, you know, in the gangrene world, it's never clean enough. It's never clean enough until you are completely deindustrialized and living as if it was 1870, which I swear that, you know, a lot of these people don't seem to connect where they want to take us. Okay, so we got that. Yeah, methane bad, water vapor in the air really, really bad when it comes to global warming. So I'm kind of with the volcano theory that has been going on. Speaking of water, not water vapor. Well, I guess there is water vapor coming out of the pipes in Shady Cove. Yeah, not water liquid, but it's still going to take a couple of days, maybe even more, maybe not even this week to be able to get some of those folks in Shady Cove hooked up. But community is coming together. And continuing, like the fire district has, you know, water available. They're doing the best they can. But like I said yesterday, another teachable moment about some preps for your, you know, for your home. It's not enough just to have the ability to, well, store water, but do you have a source later on? And boy, I'll tell you, teachable moment for sure. You need electricity. You really need water from that electricity, okay? Daily Courier had an interesting story the other day. Jackson County Commission in the meeting this week. They are backing the demolition of a historic 1859 house over at Rock Point. This is part of the Del Rio Winery property, which ended up purchasing that a few years ago for $250,000. And this was on the National Historic Registry. So it's one of those kind of houses. The John B. White House at Rock Point dates to 1859. And apparently it's just so tumbled down and in such a bad disrepair that engineering reports figure they cannot save it. Always kind of sad to see something like that go, but apparently even to move it would cost a lot of money because it is so badly damaged. But not a lot of buildings around here lasting from 1859, that is for sure. That was what was interesting, something that was interesting in Ohio was remembering, though, that the state is older than Oregon, and many of the buildings that are still in existence are considerably older than what we think of as old out here in the West Coast. There is a brick building that is still serving as the middle school in Berlin Heights in my old school system. I went and saw it over that last weekend when I was there, and it had been built in 1929, the late 1920s. Still using it, nobody even thought twice about it. Out here, you know, you had the Jackson School, the brick school, just like that was designed in Ohio. And, oh, it's just a death trap, and we have to destroy it and move on. We have a different feeling about that. My high school that I went to, Edison High School, you know, 45th High School Reunion, that was built in 1970, and it's starting to show a little bit of wear at this point. You know, the architecture of the 1970s, nobody ever looks back at 1970 Brady Bunch time and go, yeah, those are the designs for the era. You know, but, you know, even they're trying to figure out how to patch it up and make it going. There was like a big rubber membrane on the roof. Apparently the roof is starting to leak, and hey, it's just like around here. You have to keep things up. But what was even more interesting is that when we talk about the school bonds here, like Three Rivers School District is going to be going for a $30 million bond and more in this November election, they're sitting around there trying to figure out how to deal with declining enrollment, big time declining enrollment. And we are too here in Oregon. And we're still trying to figure out. Some of it is demographic. Some of it is demographic. The latest childbearing demographics are not necessarily bearing a lot of children, you know, at this point. That's part of it. And the population still continuing to age more. And you still have a lot of older or younger boomers, I should say, that are left, like me, and older Gen Xers that are, you know, starting to age out of the workforce there. But I thought what was really interesting was to see the size of the marching band. I was there at the Milan Melon Festival for the Sunday parade as it marched by. And when I was in school, graduating in 1979, there were 145 people in the marching band. And now with demographic decline and population decline of school-age children in the district, it was down to 80. So not quite half, but getting pretty darn close. And I know that there was talk that one of the challenges in the Three Rivers School District is that they've had a lot, maybe 5-10% of the school population going away. Same in Medford, same in Ashland, same all these various things. But they still have the old infrastructure that they want you to keep up, even though they should probably be closing and consolidating some schools. Maybe cooler heads will prevail if they can ever get around, at least in the case of Medford 549C, with shooting the school board members that are bringing up uncomfortable truths. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Michael Williams. 20 minutes after 6, this is the Bill Myers Show. 770-5633. What's on your mind today? With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
All aboard!
The Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad is your opportunity to ride behind the living history of a historic locomotive engine along the beautiful Oregon coast. Book either the coastal excursion for the whole family or take that special someone on the romantic moonlight excursion that includes appetizers and refreshments. Secure your seats with the Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad now at OregonCoastScenic.org.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service and I'm on KMED.
21 after 6, Brad Bennington. Hey, Brad. Over at the Builders Association, you're actually playing golf this morning. Good for you. That's a great Friday. What's up with that, huh?
Wahoo, buckaroo, Bill. Not just golf. We got us a golf rodeo going on out here at Stone Ridge Golf Course.
No kidding. What's a golf rodeo? You know me. I don't golf.
We got us a Western theme golf deal going on. You got to see to believe. And I'll tell you what, along with the golf, We've got a delicious, rugged, manly tri-tip meal we're going to have along the way. So we got us a golf rodeo out here at Stone Ridge.
A tri-tip meal might just get me getting into learning how to golf someday. Anyway, I'm just having fun with you. You know that, Brad.
You know what? We're going to be eating dinner after you're off work. So we're going to be then roughly around 1:30 or whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Since you are such a nice fellow, if you want to show up, I will buy your lunch for you. You can have a tri-tip dinner right along with all the real.
Oh, that's very kind. Friday a pretty intense work day though, Brad. But maybe I'll have to take a rain check on that. So I understand that Mayor Randy Sparacino, or outgoing Mayor Randy Sparacino, is there. He's running for county commission. He's at the event, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Mayor Randy's here, and he's going to be swinging. You know, a lot of people don't know he's pretty darn athletic. This guy knows how to do all kinds of things. He's pretty good at playing golf.
And he lost a lot of weight. I saw him over at Sherm's a few weeks ago, and I think he dropped about 40, 50 pounds, didn't he?
Well, he's definitely in a condition that most people would describe as athletic. I know a lot of mayors, and I'll tell you what, there's not too many mayors that could physically compete with the one that we have. He's in pretty darn good shape.
Well, that's good to know. Hey, you were talking, though. You wanted to talk with me about the deindustrializing, because I was talking a bit about that earlier, especially with the climate-friendly, equitable community and the comment that the DEQ is looking for. You wanted to weigh in on that a bit here?
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill, as an Oregon native, you know that when we did things that were fun back in the day, they're almost invariably outside, and they also involve mostly some form of gasoline powered deal. So logging roads, if you're going to go hunting, and by the way, hunting isn't about going out and slaughtering a bunch of animals. Really, a lot about hunting is just getting out and enjoying the forest.
Yeah, and you're tromping along and getting some good exercise. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
sure.
Get some exercise and so on and so forth. But you know, whether it was out hunting or dirt bike riding or power boating or any of the things that we used to do, the reality is that with all this so-called deindustrialization, they're tearing down all the things that we built, going back to right after 1945 when World War II is over. This term that you used, I think, is pretty darn accurate. This deindustrialization, the net result of it is it's going to force people that used to do things outdoors indoors, because the outdoors is just no longer going to be available, Bill. And you already see it happening. You see our young people, how many times, and you just got through doing a lot of flying and traveling, how many times do you go into a large space with a lot of people in it, and what's everybody doing? Their head is down, buried in their cell phone. They're not talking to people. They're not interacting. They're these electronic zombies, and they're just buried in their cell phone. This is what is replacing, this sort of activity is replacing what used to be outdoor, real physical activity.
And they seem to be, they being the system, if you want to call it that, seems to be compensating for, and they wonder why so many people are getting fat and lazy, right? Well,
every one of these monuments, and every one of these monuments that gets expanded, a lot of people don't understand this, is you no longer have motorized access to that piece of real estate. The only way that you can get there is to walk. And many of them don't even allow horse access. So even if you're wealthy enough to own a horse, you can't even use that.
Okay, well, let's also be real. Every time you see gangrene proposing monuments around here, the monument ends up being the next place which is going to burn ferociously because it will never be really cleaned or harvested in any way or taken care of. Okay?
Well, they're very poorly managed. I mean, to use the word management is really inaccurate. But the main thing that's going on, Bill, and you see it and I see it and a lot of people see it, is more and more, I mean, gigantic, huge chunks of outdoor real estate that all of us used to share and enjoy are being taken away from public use. And it's all part of this densification. It's all part of pushing more and more people into smaller and smaller spaces.
And when you get shoved into, if you permit them to continue further with this climate-friendly, equitable community, that community will really be where you're allowed to stay. That's ultimately where the United Nations types wish to take that. And what would be lost on something like that? All right.
Well, and this natural gas thing is as serious as a heart attack. You know, natural gas is by far, the least expensive way to heat your home, to heat your water. You know, the energy that it produces, when we use it, it's very, very, it's extremely clean, it's extremely affordable. And the idea that we're going to somehow replace, you know, the tremendous amount of energy that natural gas provides to all of us, you know, in various forms, with electricity is just ridiculous.
And especially replacing it with electricity, which is turning more chaotic and intermittent on the grid. Brad, I really appreciate the take there. In fact, natural gas is needed to back up the chaotic and intermittent wind and solar that they're already trying to festoon throughout it and make us run on it. Good luck on your golf game today, Brad. Appreciate that. 770-5633. Good talk as always. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. It's Linda Marie.
Linda Marie, Her Highness, or Your Royal Highness. How you doing today? What's on your mind?
Well, I'm doing all right. First of all, I did go to Tinseltown last Tuesday night, and I saw Reagan. It was very good.
So, did you think that was pretty good? Because I bought my tickets for Reagan tomorrow afternoon. Okay. Linda and I are going to go see it because I was out of town last week, and so I couldn't see it while I was doing the traveling.
That's pretty good. Pretty much all you need to know is the Russians tell the story.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I thought that was a fascinating way that they're doing it. And having, I forget which actor is playing the Russian, but the way it worked in the Cold War era is that
John Voight.
John Voight. John Voight is telling the story. And that's great because that was an interesting way of telling Reagan's story, because in those days, during the Soviet Union era, you practically, everyone had their minders. If you were a big-time general or a president or someone else, there would be people from the Soviet Union over here assigned to follow you, study you, and report on you. And the one thing you can say about Soviet intelligence agencies of the day is that they were incredibly in-depth and thorough. And so that was an interesting way to tell the story, I think. That's great.
Yes. Yes. And it's very similar to Mr. Trump's story, actually.
Really? You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. Anyway, I enjoyed it. And the other thing is, I need to reach out to the listening audience.
What's wrong?
My crown is in my hand.
No!
I can't pay my rent this month. My rent, including a late fee I got yesterday, is $1,300.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Now, we don't do fundraising on the radio like this just from someone calling up there. Do you have a GoFundMe set up, though?
Not yet. My friend of mine is working on that.
All right. Well, get your friend to work on it, then let me know about that. Maybe we can direct people to help a fellow Southern Oregon, break through this tough time. Sorry for your trouble.
Okay. But, thank you very much.
Yeah, but I can't give your phone number and do a direct donation, that sort of thing. Okay. All right.
Yeah, because I have Zelle and Venmo and all the and PayPal. All that.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Send me your email address, and if anybody writes me, I'll direct them to you. Okay.
All right. Okay. Very good. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Thanks. You take care, Linda Marie. 6:30. Boy, we're all struggling with something. Everyone's all struggling with something. That is for sure. It's always a good idea to be kind, for sure. There was, in fact, that reminded me of a story. And of course, I know that here as a talk show host, it's like a lot of times it's like, ooh, that reminded me of a story, but it really did. And it was a great day for Linda. Linda was over at the Cancer Center in Medford, and she was having her checkup, and it was, everything was great. She has been cancer-free, disease-free, and it was just absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And she was in the bathroom, though, and there was a woman in the stall next to her, and she was crying. And Linda realized, she recognized what this was. It was probably someone that was crying because they had the bad diagnosis, or someone that they loved was having the bad diagnosis, or maybe they, had a few months to live, that sort of thing. And Linda was telling me, Bill, I started crying along with her, and I waited in there because I wanted to wait for her to get out of the stall and go wash her hands or whatever it is, just so I could go over there and give her a big hug and say, hey, we're going to get through this thing, and because just understanding that, but she knew that there was another woman there, and so she would not leave. She wanted to leave without people knowing, right? And you see those kind of things going on, and it is that reminder to do your best to be kind to people, because you never know what someone is just struggling with. Even someone who may have been sharing some angry words with you may have just had that kind of thing, or is lashing out, lashing out in anger. And try to soften the heart to what might be going on with various people. You just never know. 6:32, you're on KMED, 99.3 KPXG. We're going to break for news and catch up on a little bit of that with Bill London, Town Hall News. And Rick Manning will join me, Americans for Limited Government. And, boy, I'll tell you, the gaslighting of the American public. We're talking a lot about Rick's latest piece, and a bunch more coming up.
We've heard it all.
Apparently, those larger tires don't provide more clearance.
It was a really big bird. Might have been a pterodactyl.
I should have screwed that tool shelf in the garage to the wall.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Protect your home from costly summer heat damage. Terra Firma Foundation Systems can help. As the summer heat dries out the soil around your home, it contracts or pulls away from or pushes against your home's foundation. This can put your home's foundation at risk of shifting, sinking, or cracking. These issues worsen over time, leading to expensive repairs, but they don't have to. Don't delay. Terra Firma offers solutions to keep your home's foundation safe and stable. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. Easy online scheduling. CCB 173-547.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Shady Cove officials declared a state of emergency due to an ongoing water outage for several hundred residents served by the Highland Water Corporation. Bottled drinking water is available at the Jackson County Fire District 4 headquarters on Highway 62. Bulk drinking water is available from Highland Water while repair work continues on the system pump that caused the outage. The hope is to restore water sometime today. Two Oregon airports are going to be sharing money in federal improvements. In Medford, the Rogue Valley International Airport received a federal grant of $6.4 million to extend a taxiway and build two new ones in an effort to reduce delays and allow access for a broader mix of aircraft. In the wake of the deadly school shooting in Georgia this week, Oregon State Police and Safe Oregon are reminding students, staff, and families that a 24-hour school safety tip line is available. Confidential or anonymous tips can be submitted to Safe Oregon 24/7 by phone, text, or email. That could include threats of violence, bullying, drugs, alcohol, or weapons on campus. Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Mitch Thomason. The August employment report is out this morning. The government says that America's employers added 142,000 jobs last month. That was up from 114,000 in July, but still fewer jobs than analysts had been expecting. The employment report expected to play a major role in the Fed's upcoming decision on interest rates. Unveiling specifics of his economic revival plan, former President Trump also proposing creation of a government efficiency commission that would be chaired by none other than Elon Musk. A second arrest in the deadly Winder, Georgia school shooting. Georgia Bureau of Investigation Director Chris Hosey says 54-year-old Colin Gray is the father of teen suspect Colt Gray and has been placed under arrest. On Wall Street this morning, the opening bell just sounding, stocks starting off the day mixed. This is SRN News.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE, 844-45-BIBLE.
Here's Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service for just-in-time appliance.
Recently, a small part went out on our dryer at home. My husband ordered the inexpensive part to fix it. 3 months and several wrong parts later, he agreed to call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair. A couple days later, I had a working dryer. Just-in-Time Appliance have always taken great care of all of our appliances with honest service and fair prices. Don't wait. Just call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair.
Just-in-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
Saving big on just the things I need.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley big bucks over the years on local fun. Get a family four-pack of wildlife safari tickets, normally $96, now half off. Children's Museum of Southern Oregon, one adult and one child admission, normally $20, only $8. Save big on these deals and more at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
The Rogue Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op. And remember, use the right tool for the job.
The Dirt Devil has a little plastic spout that folds down, and it'll go right into blossoms and get the bugs without damaging the blossoms.
I know they're not so high-powered because every time I try to use one on my truck's upholstery, it never gets any dirt out. But I bet it would get a bug.
It gets bugs. It's a real handy tool.
Catch the Rogue Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED.
If you have a painting project this fall, you're going to want to buy your Benjamin Moore paint at Drake's Paint during their 40th anniversary sale. Benjamin Moore's top-of-the-line Aura interior and exterior paint is 30% off at Drake's now through Monday, September 9th. So come see your only locally-owned paint dealer and authorized Benjamin Moore retailer, Drake's Paint, and save 30% on Benjamin Moore's best Aura paint through September 9th. Drake's Paint in Grants Pass, North Medford, and now in South Medford.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, cause I don't want to see. I'm not told, and let's go.
And the party is getting crazier all the time, too. Rick Manning rejoins me, president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. How are you doing this morning, Rick? Welcome back. It's been a couple of weeks since we've chatted.
I'm doing great, and I'm glad you had a great trip.
Yep, really did. Went back to Ohio, saw my old friends, and it was great to catch up. You know, the one thing that was kind of interesting, though, was being back in an area in which the vast majority were Republicans, and not only Republicans, but conservative Republicans in rural and semi-rural Ohio. I mean, it's not even close there. I mean, now we're not talking about Cleveland and Cincinnati and Columbus and the urban hive minds, but boy, just about everywhere else, it's like, oh, it's my people. You know, that part was really cool. I like that aspect of it. And the progressives that are living in that particular area, unlike here in Southern Oregon here, Rick, is they're loud, or they're very quiet over in Ohio. They kind of keep a low profile. It's kind of a different way of living.
Well,
there,
you know, it's a Ohio, I think Ohio pretty emblemizes the country in a lot of ways. You have some very liberal urban areas, and then you have the rest of the state. Hmm. And then you have Columbus, which is kind of weird because it's got so many state workers. But it's a, it really used to be known as the bellwether state. And now it's considered to be Republican after a few election cycles, but the real test in Ohio will be what happens in the U.S. Senate race there. Will they elect a far-left incumbent U.S. senator, or will they elect a fresh face who supports Trump?
So it's Sherrod Brown, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's who we're talking about, the real radical here. And who is competing on that one? The other
guy named, I think, Josh Marino is, I think, the guy.
Oh, yeah, I saw a lot of Josh Marino signs out there.
I bet you did.
Okay.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
That seat may determine, you know, whether the Republicans have functional control over the Senate or not.
And that's really important, because we talk a lot about getting stuff through the House, and it's like, okay, you get stuff through the House that might be pretty good. Pretty good for the country. And then, you know, you only have the Mitt Romney Republican types, and not nearly enough of those, really. And then it goes down to defeat, right? Doesn't go anywhere.
Well, yeah. And if you look at the Senate makeup for next year, the Western Manchin's gone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a Republican replacing Manchin, but he's not a hardcore. He's a very wealthy guy, but Mitch McConnell will be as happy with him as Donald Trump. And so you get it, but you get a 50-50 mix at that point. So VP breaks the tie if nothing else changes. Ohio is one of those places where Sherrod Brown is leading, but the lead is completely disconnected to thinking about trying to, you know, do anything in 2025. And that'll be an interesting thing to see if the Republicans can connect the dots for people. They're likely to win in Montana. Republicans are likely to win in Montana, pick up a seat there. But if the Republicans, let's say hypothetically, the Republicans end up with 52 senators, here's who they also have. The guy who's being elected in Utah to replace Romney is worse than Romney.
Oh, seriously? What is it with these smart Mormons that don't seem to be able to figure out that electing rhinos is not going to really help your case? Do they not get it? What goes on there? I don't get it.
I'm not an expert on Utah politics or the Church of Latter-day Saints, but I will say that when you look at the Republican delegation, congressional delegation, and not including Mike Lee, and you look at how they voted on some things like some of the transgender issues and gay marriage issues, they have flipped entirely over the last 20 to 30 years. And now they're uniformly on the opposite side of where evangelicals are on some of those basic social family issues. And I don't know why.
So we're at this point in which a lot of the Republican Party, in essence, is like we've described it before, the Washington Generals, the team always out there to just go along, to get along, and then to lose gracefully to the Harlem Globetrotters Democrat Party, right?
And my point is, when you look at it, you have Susan Collins in Maine, who I believe is in cycle, which means she's going to be, you know, voting to keep her job in Maine. And that means she's going to not vote for a lot of stuff that Trump might want to get done in his first year of his second term, which is his only chance to get anything done in his second term. So you look around, you have Murkowski, who was elected with Democrats, did a ranked choice voting in Alaska. And so you look at the Republicans, ostensive Republicans, and you look around and you say, listen, they have to get to 53-54. Between 53 and 54 in the Senate, to be able to then only need to depend on Tom Tillis, who is terrible from North Carolina. So getting, you look at an aggressive agenda, even if you're doing budget reconciliation, which is a means where you can, if it's budget related, you get one shot a year, maybe two, a year to get something passed the Senate with only a majority, simple majority vote. So you need 50 plus the vice president. But that's in jeopardy because of, if they got 51, they get to 51, 50 or 51, functionally, Trump's going to be very limited on what he can do, even using a 50, only needing to get 51 votes, because there's a lot of people who would just as soon Donald Trump not be president on the Republican side of the aisle who are sitting in Senate seats.
Uh-huh.
So we just have to be cognizant that in states like Ohio, we have to win the ones we can win. And Arizona, some people don't like Kerry Lake very much on the Republican side.
I don't care if they don't like Kerry Lake.
We have to win the seat. Those are places where you have to win. You have to get the pickups. In Las Vegas, we have a shot at winning the Nevada seat there. It actually should be a pretty good shot at winning it. I think Trump's going to win Nevada. So what happens? Do they elect to send a Democrat back to oppose everything Trump was for? I mean, those are the real questions that the voters in these states are going to face. And quite honestly, if I had the money to spend on this, I would spend it on connecting the dots between the presidential election and the Senate election, and try to drive good candidates to victory in states where, quite honestly, if we don't win those things, the Republican majority in the Senate is going to be short-lived, only 2 years, and they won't get anything done, and everybody will be disappointed and blame Trump.
Yeah. They'll be disappointed and blame Trump, and yet if you don't have a Senate that is at least somewhat semi-friendly instead of just a sort of semi-openly hostile like it is right now.
Yeah, well, even nominees. I mean, the Senate basically during Trump's first term, all they did was, basically give us nominees. But, you had the fights over Kavanaugh. You had the fights over Amy Coney Barrett. You had but Kavanaugh more. And you look at that and you say, if we don't have a Senate that's determined to work 5 days a week to get their jobs done and allow the Democrats to control the clock and make it so you don't get your number two person at the Labor Department until 13 months after he's been nominated, sometime about June of 2026, which is what effectively happened in the first term. You don't have any take functional control of the administrative state.
And, of course, taking control of the administrative state is really what needs to be done. That's what that's what happens when you have EPA defining an inert gas, carbon dioxide, as pollution, something that is necessary to life on the planet. You get crap like that out of not having control of the administrative state.
100% true. And when you elect your guys, you put a guy like Scott Pruitt, a former attorney general of Oklahoma, who didn't understand the rules in D.C., but understood EPA, understood the carbon, all the problems the EPA was causing. You put him in as EPA head. What happens? He tries to do stuff, but he doesn't have his political people in place to fight it, let alone the ability to shapeshift the entrenched bureaucrats out of place so you can actually run them over.
Yeah.
Or move them out of the way.
Yeah, well, and this is why when you're electing President Trump, it's really about electing 3,000 or 4,000 underlings that are there to do that job that you're just discussing, right?
Exactly right. And we've talked about this before, but if they do their job the way they should in terms of the administrative state, they will get rid of a significant number of civil servants. They will not do a hiring freeze, allowing them to hire other people that actually will actually do the work. Hiring freezes, Republicans always do it, it always hurts them. Democrats never do hiring freezes because they want to hire their people. Republicans, oh, we're going to shrink government. We're going to do a hiring freeze. You're making it so you can't put people who are going to do the work you want done into places where they can get the work done. It's just stupid, but we do it every 4 years.
But still, to the victors must go the spoils, and that is control of the administrative state. You know,
one would think. So anyway, that's all. You know, so that's just kind of a sidebar off of your trip to Ohio. But the bottom line is, middle America has a choice to make, and they can vote all they want for president, and they should. But if they don't vote down ticket consistently with how they're voting for the presidency, they might as well, you wouldn't say vote for Kamala, but from a standpoint, you might as well just put it, you're canceling out your own vote by canceling out the president by putting in people in the Senate and the House who basically don't agree.
Hey.
I don't want rubber stamps, but I want people who actually are some kind of philosophical alignment.
Yeah, speaking of Kamala, you had to have a little chuckle. I was kind of flicking that Putin was crazy like a fox by endorsing Kamala Harris. I thought that was an interesting statement the other day. It's kind of like the kiss of death. He knows that's the kiss of death, right? Maybe not.
It just means the DOJ is going to drop all the Russia collusion investigations. So, as long as Putin's on the right side, they don't really care if there's a Russian intervention into our electoral system.
I'm tired of hearing about Russian interference. I'm tired of hearing about Russian interference in our electoral system. We have Middle Eastern interference in our election system all the time, whether it's Saudi Arabia or Israel or anybody else kind of making us dance to their tune. Okay.
We have massive Chinese influence in our electoral system. We certainly have Venezuelan influence in our electoral system. They've been exporting enough Venezuelans to us lately. We have and given the fact that this administration doesn't see anything wrong with people who are not citizens voting, people who just came across the border voting. And there's a great clip from Obama talking about this at some point, saying that if you're here, you vote, you can vote, you have every right as a citizen to a bunch of DACA recipients back in the day. So all in all, it's all that stuff is from the left is garbage. But the bottom line on it is, I think it's intriguing how. The rebranding of Kamala Harris is occurring.
In fact, you have a piece on that on Daily Torch, and I think it's very important. Yeah. It's a great read, folks. It's called Democracy Dies in Darkness, the Rebranding of Kamala Harris. And it's just, it's astounding. I used a term yesterday here, and it might be a little bit crude, so I hope I don't offend you too badly. But essentially, the mainstream media acts as fluffers. Fluffers on the stage of a porn movie.
I'm familiar with the idea.
Yeah, but their entire behavior. Well, everything about this is they act like that. It's amazing.
It is, and I will tell you the article that I wrote was probably 3 weeks percolating in my brain, largely because it has. We've all been frustrated by biased media for a very long time. I mean, from the beginning of my career running political campaigns.
But now they really don't even pretend to care. They don't pretend. They're not pretending any longer.
They don't. Okay? Well, they're not pretending. That's exactly right. They don't pretend anymore to even have a little bit of objective. When I was an NRA lobbyist, I worked with media a lot because my goal was, and I told the media this, my goal is to get my quote on the front page of the newspaper and not to get above the jump where they send you to A27 and nobody goes.
Right.
And then it says Rick Manning from NRA says none of the above is true. I was up front with the reporters. My goal is to get my quote in the first part of your story before the jump. And I worked really hard to get that done. Now I wouldn't bother because if you're dealing at least with a White House press corps and a national press corps, they don't care about providing your none of the above is true, even below the jump, because they aren't journalists. They're advocates. And the thing that there's this, I didn't write about this part of it in the piece because people read the piece, but it is the part of it that's really changed is when we went to a click-through society, when it's a matter of we need headlines that people will click through to, you cease to get, you know, the who, what, when, where, why in your first paragraph of any story, which is traditional journalism. You lead with a lead and then you expand on it. Well, if you tell people what they're going to click through to, there's no reason for them to click unless they're really interested. And modern journalism and modern internet journalism in particular, which all journalism is, by the way, is based on, you know, you have to have a sensational headline in order to drive the message, and you don't want to bore them before they spend enough time on their page to get on your page to get to the ads.
And that's why you see the stories with all the inflammatory headlines like Trump destroys, Kamala crushes this, you know, owns,
right,
that kind of stuff. That's the reason they do both, things like
and,
that.
And both right and left are guilty of it. I'm really bad at writing those kind of headlines. I mean, we had a headline in our thing that went out yesterday, it started with the word with. I mean, which I looked at and yelled at somebody about, but that was because you know, never start. You know, start
well, you know, the Gateway Pundit is excellent with the standard right wing red meat.
No, they're very good.
Yeah, crushing.
No, they're good.
Yeah, we're going to crush, owned, destroyed. You know, that kind of thing. Usually,
yeah. and you know, it's so you just have to recognize it for what it is. But Gateway Pundit is an upfront advocacy thing where you know you're getting conservative content. We have right now what we have, we have people who pretend to be journalists who sit in the White House press room and watch for 3.5 years a president when they saw him, when they actually got to talk to him, who could not function in his job.
Everybody knew it.
For 3.5 years.
Everybody knew it.
And some people had the audacity to ask questions and to push, but you know, by and large, it was Fox News who was doing that. Peter Ducey would ask questions that were pertinent to that on occasion. But the bottom line is, every one of those people knew it. And when they pushed Biden out, every one of those people then pretended like they just discovered it, or you know, we saw signs. Yeah, you saw signs for 3.5 years, but you're sitting in the White House press corps. Your job is to be inside the White House, find out what's going on, and inform the people. It's not to cover up for whoever's inside the White House. That's not your job. Yet that's the function they performed for 3.5 years. And then you saw a burst, and I wrote a piece on this, a burst of about 2 weeks, maybe a month of journalism, where, when they were doing the coup against Biden. And they were
talking about his problems, and then as soon as Kamala's in there, now all of a sudden it's time to. It's like the cloak of invisibility. These are not the droids you're looking for.
How do you have a candidate who people don't know enter the race in August?
Yeah.
She nailed it down in early August, and she has essentially no media appearances. In fact, no media appearances until she goes on an interview with her running mate, holding her hand to make sure she doesn't.
Well, it's her emotional support dog is really what he was.
Her emotional support. I was going to use the word pig, but that's okay. Dogs are just too nice.
That's true.
But let's not do that to dogs. And pigs are nice too. So those who like pigs, they can. Maybe I'm using the wrong animal. Anyhow, let's call it feral animal. Anyhow, the only exposure is a short, edited, back and forth with softball questions that undoubtedly were provided to her in advance. And so that's not journalism. That's being in a PR agency, packaging something, an interview that you do with a PR agency, and sending it out to media outlets, hoping they'll cover it, hoping they'll run it. I mean, that is a standard PR agency tool. It's what PR agencies are paid to do. But CNN is not supposed to be a PR agency. And the other media outlets, the whole idea is by having a lot of them, is that they're competing. But that's not the case anymore, with a few exceptions, with conservative outlets accepted. They're not competing. They're not fighting for stories. They're not demanding, hey, if you give Dana Basher, you have to be on my air. You have to be on this air.
No.
It's not happening. They're sitting around talking live on air. Well, it's really, you know, I don't know why Kamala Harris would go off and do more interviews. The people know who she is. This was a fine representation, and there's absolutely
well,
no
this
reason
is
for it.
This is just a repeat of 2020. It's just a basement,
right.
But not in the basement. That's all it is. But the thing is, though, obviously she's doing this because it worked for Biden, and it could work this time, couldn't it? Couldn't it work this time?
It worked for Biden, and it worked for Fetterman in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And because, you know, John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, while he's recovered, and I'm glad that he's recovered, when he was running, he was at the very apex of suffering from the symptoms of a stroke. He was unable to put words together. And yet, the Democrats knew they had 2.3 million votes in Pennsylvania, whether or not John Fetterman appeared on TV or not, whether or not he could put words together or not. And because they knew they had the votes already, they didn't take any action. And as a result, they elected a guy who, quite honestly, was not mentally capable of doing the job for the first year he was in office. Now, you know, he's surprised people. He's actually become pretty thoughtful and somebody who's worth listening to.
Somewhat reasonable. Somewhat reasonable,
well, because he apparently actually pays attention to what's going on and doesn't just read from a script. But it's... And sometimes having life events occur cause you to kind of refocus. But the bottom line is they knew they had the votes. They didn't have to have a candidate. They knew in 2020 that they could deliver how many votes they needed. They didn't have to have a candidate. They have to run around and do rallies. They didn't have to do what J.D. Vance is doing right now, where he's going around to anybody with a microphone doing an interview and talking about the future, saying some things and taking hits. Actually, have to answer for things he said in the past that probably weren't particularly politic. But, you know, he's actually going out and asking people for their vote. And the Democrats, this is the scary part about it, and it's why the press corps offends me so much, is the Democrats are acting as if they don't have to ask the people for their vote because they already have their vote. And not because of any great belief in them, but because they have a vote generation system that is disconnected from the political system.
I would also add that there's another weapon, and that weapon is Donald Trump. And the few progressives that I talked to in Ohio, that's all that mattered. I have never seen such illogical hatred at people with daddy issues in my life is when I talk to progressives about Trump. It's fascinating.
We don't have to even take it to progressives, although I think she's become one.
Well, I know. Well, just look at Liz Cheney, right?
Liz Cheney. Okay. Liz Cheney was one of the more conservative members of the House of Representatives. Okay.
Actually put out a tweet a few years ago talking about the danger of Kamala Harris in 2020.
Right. Correct. Yes. Correct. But she was pro-gun. She was pro-life. She was pro-free enterprise. And she was, like it or not, she was pro-America in terms of she was more interventionist than I am. Okay. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Like her dad. So she had a history of being very conservative and a voting history of being very conservative. And Donald Trump broke her. The bottom line is Donald Trump over a period of time, like a lot of people in Washington, D.C., because he was attacking some of the conventions like trade policy, conservative conventions like trade policy, where he's right, attacking the idea that we have to be, you know, we have to have troops, you know, in every war. And he's right. But those were, it turned out that global intervention and global trade policy were more important to the Liz Cheney's of the world than anything that the left can say. And they're using January 6th as their excuse, even though and Cheney knows this. Even though the evidence that was presented before that committee that Cheney and Benny Thompson, who was the Democrat chairman, basically threw away all the evidence is exculpatory to Donald Trump and that committee. Deliberately put a thumb on the scale. And as a result, so we know that Liz Cheney can no longer call herself a conservative because she can't be conservative and support somebody who supports socialized medicine. Can't be conservative and support somebody who says, gee, you know, we need to control the price of everything. That's how we're going to solve inflation. Mm-hmm. You can't say I'm a conservative and I'm going to support somebody who wants to throw grandmas who pray in front of abortion clinics in jail, or put a guy who exposes Planned Parenthood for selling baby body parts.
Yeah, put him in jail.
I mean, which she did. Okay, let's just be clear. She did. So this is not – so Liz Cheney and the people who say they support Kamala Harris, they have nowhere to hide because they no longer are at all anchored in anything called conservatism. They are now bitter, angry people trying to justify themselves having a voice, and they've discovered the way they can have a voice is by becoming becoming nothing more than a mouthpiece for the left and using their former credentials as a means to profit by getting gigs with left wing organizations or being pundits on CNN or MSNBC, where they make a bunch of money for saying
for essentially being a turncoat. Yeah, all right.
Hey, well, being Benedict Arnold pays.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose Democracy Dies in Darkness, the rebranding of Kamala Harris, and it's worth reading here. DailyTorch.com. Rick, we didn't even get a chance to talk about the jobs report noise or Sirius or
one piece to know on the jobs report. Fewer people are employed this month or last month when the report goes than were a year before. It's the first time under the Biden presidency where that's occurred, and it shows that there has been, in fact, we've hit this. We're over the hump in terms of jobs, and for Biden's sake. And for Kamala Harris's sake, they really have lost the capacity to make the jobs argument as the value of Bidenomics, in spite of the 4.2% dropping to 4.2%.
I think when we look back in history, we'll probably say that that a recession really started about, 4 or 5 months ago, maybe more?
Yep. I think that's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And so anyway, the fact is, people believe there's a recession for other reasons. They believe there's a recession because it takes more money to buy less stuff, and they're not making more money. So when your personal pocketbook is being hammered, there used to be something called a misery index that Democrats invented to go after Ronald Reagan. And the misery index is real, is alive, and Joe Biden brought it back to life, and Kamala Harris wants to resuscitate it.
Make an ad
so
on that. Hey,
that's what we got.
All right. Rick, always good talking. We'll catch you next week, all right? Thanks again.
Absolutely. Take care, buddy. Bye.
DailyTorch.com. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KPXG, Grants Pass. And Mr. Outdoors joining me here in a few minutes. We'll talk about where to go in this triple-digit heat this weekend, what to do.